Good evening and welcome, excuse me, to Maranatha Baptist Church. Glad you could make it on a rainy, sunny, humid, not humid Wednesday here in Ashland, Ohio, June something, 7th, 8th, whatever day you like it to be, just make it. All right, so we're in the middle of a Bible study and trying to, the goal in doing this these Bible studies enhance your reading time, the time you spend with the Lord in Bible study, giving you some more tools to enable you to get more out of your Bible reading. And I've been encouraged. I hope you have as well. And you can see the topic. It's on the screen there, one left or right, pop clips. I just want to make these announcements before I forget. So those of you tuning in at home are aware, Sandy Burgett has been dismissed from Riverside. However, she still needs her hyperbaric treatments. She could not get them as an inpatient there due to insurance reasons, so she was sent home. She still needs the treatment. Just because she was sent home, do not misread that as in she's better. She's not necessarily better. She just cannot stay there any longer. All right, so she's hunting around. Mansfield has the facility, but I'm not sure right now if they have a doctor to operate the facility. I know Worcester has one. Medina has one. So be praying that she would be able to get in as soon as possible to do that. So you can put that on your prayer sheet, and I won't mention that at the end of our study tonight to add. Also, you can add connections. Was speaking with the superintendent last night, and he would very much appreciate it. I know we have release time, hoping to get that, not hoping, Lord willing, we'll be starting that this fall, the first Monday after the Ashland County Fair. He would also like to see Connections back in operation. Connections Plus has always been in operation. He wants to go back to the school program after school where we had all the kids from K through 4, and then Corey had the middle schoolers on Wednesday. So he would love to see that implemented. To be honest, I'm probably going to hold off a couple of weeks after we start the release time program to see what kind of time schedule and crunch we have, and then to see how many volunteers we have before we start implementing that program. A very good program, but I want to make sure we have the volunteers necessary to make that operational. All right, so we are in Matthew chapter 11, 25 through 27. We're going to read those verses in a moment. Here's the title of tonight's study, Apocalypse. And it's been a long day, a lot of studying. I am sure by the end of this study tonight, I am going to hammer that word apocalypse, say it some inappropriate way or backwards way, not inappropriate way, but backwards. So you just bear with me. Let's dive into the scriptures. Again, a Bible study to help enhance your understanding of the Word of God, in this case, this particular genre of material found in your Bible. All right, so Matthew 11, not going to get into the context, I'm just going to read at this point. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, I didn't point it out in this passage. I don't have any words highlighted, but this word apocalypse is found two times in this passage. Okay? So we're going to take a look at that in just a moment. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for Jesus Christ, so grateful, Lord, for the Spirit of the living God to reside within us, to open our eyes so that we can behold great and wonderful things. Help us, Lord, to grow in our understanding of your word. Lord, for you to breathe it out and to have for us to have a copy of it so many years later. It is obviously, Lord, you wanted for us to have this material. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand it to a greater degree. Lord, we would love to see more of you, not only tonight, but each day, each moment that we open up your word and look into it. So help us and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, apocalypse. When you just hear the name, what comes to mind for the average, above average Bible believer going to a good church that teaches the word of God? When you hear the word apocalypse, and actually I'll explain this a little further in a moment, maybe a lot of people who aren't familiar with the Bible, when they hear this word, what comes to mind? What other, if we were going to play psychologist and I'm going to give you a word and you give me the first word that pops into your mind and I say apocalypse, go, what comes to your mind? Shout it out and I'll repeat it so the people at home can hear. Apocalypse. All right, we've got a lively group here. Maybe somebody at home is pounding the screen saying something. I don't know. Anybody have somebody, when you hear that word, I am sure something comes to your mind. Destruction. End times. All right, that is Armageddon. I asked Corey today, so I test drove my sermon a little bit. He said Armageddon, and Terry and I and Corey all saw Armageddon. It's a place. And you go up on the top of Mount Carmel, where Elijah was and did battle up there, and you can look over this valley, the Valley of Armageddon, and it just is this large expanse. I have no idea how many miles. I'm just telling you it is there. You are also told that underneath this one particular strip, you would find a lot of the Israeli Air Force. You can't see it, and if somebody wouldn't tell you, you wouldn't know it was there, but usually destruction, end of the world, something like that. Well, you guys are not far off. I went to type this word apocalypse in the search engine of my computer, and this is what came up. This is a computer-generated, so I don't know what dictionary the computer uses when you Google things, but this is its definition, apocalypse. The complete final destruction of the world. So Bob and Terry had that right, as described in the biblical book of that's coming from a Google library, and they're mentioning a book of the Bible. Now, I'm quite certain after working with the kids from Connections, most people don't know that's a book of the Bible, and I'm sure some Christians have no idea that's a book in the Bible, but this is the definition. Or, number two, so that was the first definition that came up. Number two, an event involving destruction or damage or an awesome or a catastrophic scale. So it's no wonder, and there's going to be a lot, just a forewarning, a lot of definitions being thrown out tonight. If you do not want what writer's cramp and would like my notes, my slides, you're more than welcome to have them. The material will be on our YouTube channel, our Faith Life site, so you can kind of cruise through it, stop, and get your own definitions or maybe even print it out on your own computer or printer. So a lot of this going on. An event involving destruction or damage or an awesome or catastrophic scale. So it's no wonder when you say the word apocalypse, this kind of pops up. And even it has its own genre. You see apocalypse in the title of a book, in the title of a movie, in the title of a film, you're going to expect what? That film's going to contain something along the lines of somebody's going to be destroyed. Okay? So what we want to do as it's the same thing that we did with the parables. I'm not looking to destroy anybody's definition or understanding of the parables. We're going to work on enhancing our understanding. There was I hope you've implemented the 3 or 4 weeks we spent on how to understand the parables to a greater degree, implementing those tools, because it really helps the main thrust of those parables come alive. And that's the same thing I want to do with this word, apocalypse, because it is so much more than just death and destruction, right? And hopefully we're going to see this. Probably going to take this week, next week. I'm not sure if it's going to take a third week, But again, helping us understand these words that we find in these topics we find in the Bible. So let's start our little study. Is this truly, this dictionary definition, is this truly the biblical definition? Okay? So let's go back. Same verse I just read a couple of minutes ago. Now I've highlighted where you find the word apocalypse. And apocalypse is one of the few words that is nothing more than a transliteration of the Greek into English letters. Okay? You can see the Greek word up there, and all they did was take that Greek word and give it English words and that, or the English letters, and that's how we get to the apocalypse. All right? You can obviously see that. So what is it? Is it just death and destruction? Is that all that word means in the Word of God? Well, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has what? Has apocalypsed them. Okay? See that? You apocalypsed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will apocalypse him to. Okay? So right off the bat, and I don't think this is the first occurrence of this word in the New Testament, but right off the bat I see this is more than death and destruction. There's not any reference there to death and destruction, is there? No. But it's using that same word. Okay? Now, I'm going to notice the backdrop of these slides. This is not an error. This is really what the word kind of reflects in a visual form. This is how we think of the word, this backdrop. Gloomy, death, dying. Now, I couldn't find a backdrop with the sun on it, so I did the next best thing, something bright. This is actually what it is. It's something bright and revealing. Okay? Apocalypse is not death and destruction, but a revealing. Revelation 1:1. The revelation, the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. All right? So it's understandable why people think of the word apocalypse, they think of death and destruction, because here we have a book, and really the book of Revelation, its real title would be the apocalypse. Okay? You could put that over the title of that book, and you would not be doing your Bible any injustice whatsoever. It would be the exact same word. Okay? So really, what we see here is how you can make that association, because what happens frequently in the book of Revelation that may cause people to get this idea of death and destruction? What happens in the book of Revelation frequently? Death and destruction. Seven sets of seven, which is not anybody who understands the number system in the Word of God would not be surprised to see that. Okay? But that's probably where our understanding, and if anybody is fascinated with end times, they're probably going to that book. And so that's no wonder, which contains a lot of death and destruction. Now I must add, as Corey and I and Joshua had a very good discussion when one of the days that Joshua was home, not everybody believes Revelation is literal. They believe it is metaphorical, and that death and destruction is not literary. It is just a sign of something else, maybe spiritual. Okay? So we need to understand that. So I would not be shocked if I went into the Ashland Seminary Library and 10 people sat down, half maybe would not hold the same view I hold on Revelation being literal. Okay? So just want to make that clear. But that's probably why Google, the search engine on my computer, when I asked for the definition of apocalypse, came up with death and destruction. And what book did they quote? Remember I showed you that? What book was they referring to? Revelation. Okay? So, we're again, not trying to destroy anybody's definition of apocalypse and apocalyptical literature, but trying to broaden our understanding of what exactly this verse, this word means. Here's another great example. Okay? When Paul was Saul and on his way to Damascus to round up the Christians, what happened? He was what? So, for those of you at home, someone said he was struck by God. How? By light. And Galatians is going to tell us this is what happened. The apostle Paul, or Saul at the time, had an apocalypse. Okay, that's what happened to him. How do I know that? I'm not making it up. Look what Galatians 1:12 says. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by apocalypsis of Jesus Christ. Who taught Paul the gospel? Who taught Paul about salvation? Did Peter, James, and John? No. According to Galatians 1:12, who did? Jesus. Paul learned the gospel by an apocalypse. Okay? But when it pleased God who separated me, a couple verses after verse 12 in the same chapter of Galatians, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son to apocalypse. So what Paul had on the road to Damascus was a revelation, or technically he had an apocalypse. Okay? At the time of your salvation, you probably have never thought of it this way, you yourself had an apocalypse. Okay? Jesus Christ was revealed to you as your Savior. And that's what this word is, that I might preach him among the heathen. So again, we're just trying to broaden our understanding to understand that apocalyptical literature is more than death and destruction at the end. Okay? So I hope these verses are starting to make this come alive to you and make more sense. So, apocalyptic is used to make something clear that was not clear. Okay? That's the role of this literature. Apocalyptic literature also serves this function. It is to fill out my understanding of reality, which I do not see all of. And we've got a great example of this. To me, this is one of the most fascinating aspects of this word that to contemplate that a lot of Christians do not. Do you realize, now the people who are studying quantum physics understand this, but the average person does not, including myself. Do you realize how much of reality you and I don't see? Okay? So how am I going to see it? Well, what is God going to use? He is going to use an apocalypse. And we're going to see this played out in just a minute. So when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were exposed to as much reality as could be, right? Heaven and earth overlapped in the garden. God was there, man was there. Was there anything inhibiting God and man at that time in the garden? And the answer is no. They had full conversations with God, full revelation of God, but then Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden, and now all of a sudden, they're not seeing God. Their children are being born. They're not seeing God. And not only they're not seeing God, they're not seeing a lot that is associated with God. And so how are we going to understand the things we can't see? The answer is God is going to have to show us. All right? And when he shows us, that's an apocalypse. Okay? So here there are four aspects to the definition. And this is coming straight off my Bible program. What I'm going to do is give you one of the definitions, and then I'm going to give you the verses to substantiate it. Okay? Everybody ready? And again, if you are a note taker, you may want to just get the initial heading and then the verses. If you don't want to get all that down, I will be glad to print these off and give them to you. Or if you're watching at home, just hit the, you can't hit it now, but eventually hit the pause button, grab these definitions, and then hit play again. Apocalypse, number one, definition, laying bare, making naked. All right? Probably not the most popular definition, but here's where it's used in Genesis 9. Sorry about that. I should say 9:20. And Noah began to be an husbandman and planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered. That's the Hebrew word gala, which is the Greek word apocalypse. Okay? I just want you to see the word. Didn't know that in Noah had an apocalypse. Not a very nice one, but he had one. He was uncovered. And that's one of the meanings of this word, is to uncover, in this case, quite literally. But just notice a couple things. I guess the main point is, look at that Hebrew word, it's gala. That's how you do your searches to see other places that it's used. But this is the first definition, to laying bare, making naked. All right. Apocalypse is used of events by which things or states or persons hitherto withdrawn from view are made visible to all. That's that understanding, things that I had not seen and in some cases didn't even know existed are brought to my attention by an apocalypse. And here's the great example. Turn in your Bibles over to Genesis 28. You at home, you have to follow along. I could not get all these verses on one screen, so we're going to do this. But you all know where all the books of the Bible are at, so I have no problem calling these names out and you quickly turning there. Genesis 28, this is the story of Jacob. Jacob has just tricked his father into giving him the birthright, and now he has to scramble for his life. Okay? So in Genesis 28, verse 10 is where we'll pick it up. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. There's orthopedic comfort for you. And lay down in the place to go to sleep. And he dreamed, and we're going to touch on this at the end if we have time, this dream stuff. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all thy place, whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I what? I didn't know it. All right? Events, things, states, persons, hitherto withdrawn from view, made visible. He is seeing more of reality. And the only way he was able to see more of reality as if because God gave him an apocalypse or a gala. He pulled it back so that Jacob could see more. And if God had not done this, would Jacob have known this was going on? No. He would have had no idea this was going on. Just like before you became a Christian, or depending on how you upbringing, Did you know everything that God was doing in the world? No, I had no clue he was up to all this stuff. And that's part of the process of an apocalypse. Now, he picks it back up in Genesis 35:7. This is how we know he was having an apocalypse. He built there an altar. So now he's on his way back. Remember, God said in this verse, he promised him he'd bring him back to this land. And now, several chapters later, he indeed is on his way back. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God did what? Their God apocalypse, their God Gala unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. That whole scene that we just read in 28 is described later in Exodus 35 as an apocalypse. All right? And this is where we get this definition. It's used of events or people or things that are made visible that were invisible to that person prior to this. Okay? Everybody with me on that? That's definition number two. We got two more. A disclosure of truth or instruction that I did not know before. Okay? So how much did you not know before your salvation that you do know after your salvation? How did you come to know that? You had an apocalypse. Okay? So I'm sure when I first introduced that slide and said apocalypse, you never put yourself in that picture. You never thought of you having an apocalypse, because we believe that we're going to be raptured out before what period of time? Tribulation. That's all we think about it, but we're missing so much more of this word to understand. Listen, when someone says apocalypse and just thinks of the end, you're going to say, no, wait a second, buddy. I hope you've had one. And they're going to say, do you hate me that much? And you're going to say, no, you just don't understand the fullness of the word. So here's Paul's apocalypse. We looked at it before, but using it now for this disclosure of truth and instruction. For I neither received it, the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ, of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. This truth, this instruction of the gospel, Paul said, Peter didn't tell me, James didn't tell me, Jesus told me. And we call what Jesus did to Paul an apocalypsos. See that? So every day when you open your Bible, you and I can legitimately be praying for an apocalypse. We can. When you are in a stressful time, or a hard and difficult time, and you wonder, is God here? Is he present? You can pray for an apocalypse to know that God is near you. Okay? Verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to apocalypse, to reveal something he did not know, but is going to know, his son and me, that I might preach him among the who? The heathen. So let's just back up some. Apocalypse is to the most basic meaning, to lay bare, to making naked. Genesis 9, again, apologize for that. 9, 20, 21 is where that is found. The next one is to make things visible, to create more of reality, not create, to open your eyes to more of what is really going on in your world that currently you can't see. All right? So somebody asked for a chew on this about the angels. Do you see your angel? No. All right? So how would anybody know there would be angels next to human beings? At some point in time, an angel apocalypsed himself to somebody. All right? Otherwise, would we have known? We wouldn't have known. Okay? So bear something I did not know or see that is there, but I don't know it's there. A disclosure of truth for instruction. Then this is the last one. Concerning things that are unknown. Okay? Certainly, the end of times is unknown. So here we have, in this definition, the apocalypse concerning things unknown, the revelation, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. If God had not given it unto him to show unto his servants, would his servants ever have known that? No, they wouldn't have known it. So concerning things, you and I, and as you grow older, you become more and more aware of the things you don't know as compared to the things you do know. Right? At some point in time, I don't know, somewhere in your 30s, 40s, you think you're gaining all this knowledge. It's so grand to get old. You're knowing so much. You're growing so much. And then at some point in time, it just flips. It's like the teeter-totter. It just slams down and you begin to realize, I'm getting older and older and older, but I'm beginning to realize I know less and less and less. There's so much more. All right? And again, I don't know when that happens, but it happens. So the apocalypse are these four things, and here are your four verses to take a look at and understand. So again, now when you think of the word apocalypse, what's coming to your mind? Death and destruction? Revealing, opening, understanding, clearing things up, making things known that I did not know before. All of this is going on. And truly, how many of us have had apocalypses? All of us. Matter of fact, you should be having one if things are going right. It would not be uncommon to say a Christian should have one every day of revealing and understanding a truth that I did not know. May not be every day, but it should be happening frequently when we do our Bible reading. Now, we have a little time, and we'll wrap it up with this, and we'll pick up this next week. We'll fill in some of these blanks. What is one of the most predominant ways that God, especially in the Old Testament, but even here in the New Testament, that God gave people apocalypses? Well, it would not be a stretch of the imagination, was dreams. But we need to stop a minute and do a little defining of dreams. And we need to separate the Western idea of dreams from the Eastern idea of dreams. Okay? I don't know if you had any psychology in high school or whatever, but there was a big thing in the 1900s, still, I don't know how big it is now, where people would interpret your what? Why? To find out about the world or to find out about you? Find out about you. In the Western world, when someone says, I had a dream, all right, and many of us can't remember our dreams, I know I have them, but to state the ones I've had this week, I couldn't do it, all right? But normally, what I do understand about my dreams, I'm in every one of my dreams. How many here would say, in your dreams, you're in every one of them? Rarely do I have a dream I'm not in, all right? So when we have dreams, we're always in it, and we try, if you were to take your dreams to a psychologist, he would analyze to try to get to understand what's going on in whose life? Your life, all right? That's totally foreign to the Near Eastern understanding of a dream. In the Near Eastern understanding of a dream, the dream is not about you. The dream is about your world, all right? And we know from testimonies going on in the Middle East where the word of God is not being proclaimed because it's restricted, we see people of some of Muslim descent, but people who are not allowed to see the word of God, they're having what in coming to know the Lord? They're having dreams, okay? And that fits their heritage. That fits their culture. If somebody in America had a dream that Jesus Christ appeared telling them they must be saved, they would fly off the handle and think they need some psychotic medication. We would doubt that very much that that happened to us. Not in that culture. Because our dreams are all about, mostly, all about us and what's going on in our lives. For us to see someone else in a dream that we knew wasn't a fantasy, would probably scare most of us to death. All right? So what we want to do is when we, and we're not going to be able to fill anything else other than this, I just want to introduce this topic. In Western culture, a dream is used to get insight into the person who has the dream. In Eastern culture, a dream is used to gain insight about the world around them. Now, just think, how much of the Old Testament has somebody having a dream? Quite a bit. And none of them are freaking out saying, "You're a weirdo. You had a dream and this is what you learned," because it was common. But that's the way God is going to show them, reveal to them something that they could not see had he not shown it unto them. In all those instances, in those dreams, those people are having literally an apocalypse. Okay? They're having a revealing. And when you are here or you're at your own house and you're doing your own Bible study and you go, "Shazam," like our message this Sunday is going to be on witnessing. Now, I think when I say that word, we all have an idea of what that means. I knock on somebody's door. I say, "I'm so-and-so from such and such a church. Can I lead you through the Romans Road?" All right? There's so much more to that, that God has apocalypse to me today. He's revealed it. I did not see this. But when you start putting these scriptures together, one after the other, it paints a very solid picture, part of which we already understand, just like the word apocalypse, we all understood a little bit of the picture. It's like a 500-piece puzzle, and we've got 100 of the pieces. Well, we're going to put the other 400 in there Saturday or Sunday, and same way with parables. How does that happen? God shows it to you. Otherwise, you would never have seen it. Okay? All right, so I think that's enough. Hope nobody's confused. We'll pick this back up next Wednesday evening. So we've covered parables. We're going to do the apocalypse. Then we're going to do the letters of Paul and probably one more thing after that, and that should get us through the majority of summer. Obviously, all this to help us have a greater time in the Word of God and understand His Word to a greater degree. All right, take your prayer sheet out. A couple of requests. Excuse me. Received a phone call from a board member of the Hillsdale or Hayesville board, the city council or the town council. Please pray that they receive a $2 million grant to help pay for their new water system. Okay? That's very important to them. It would really ease the burden a lot of the residents of Hayesville are going to incur if they don't get this grant in order to get this new water system. We've been praying for this new water system about as long as we prayed for a bulldozer in Papua New Guinea to make that airstrip. So I was just pleased that one of the city council members reached out to this church. Okay, so that's making inroads. All right. The Hydens, I don't know. I'm assuming it's their oldest girl, Lacey. She is graduating Maranatha Baptist University now, I guess, in Wisconsin. She's going to do a mission / medical trip to Uganda in October 23rd through the 31st this year. So she needs some funds. So we need to pray what this church could do to help her out. She needs a total of $3,000 for the entire trip, which seems very reasonable to me. Excuse me. She needs the first $1,000 by July 15th. Okay? So if you can help with that, I'm sure this church is going to help give her a one-time donation to see her be able to take that trip. The Hydens, another missionary family that is very consistent in keeping us up to date on their efforts. All right. for Stan Temple, Stan and Ruth. We need to pray for Teresa, a newly saved lady from down there, that she would continue to grow in the Lord. Then Stan also asked for prayer. He is writing a book for a conference on dating. He would like that book completed for the time of the conference. So for Templeton's, we need to pray for Teresa and for Stan to get the book completed. All right. As we're pulling out our up-to-date prayer sheet, several things have been eliminated. Oh, just to make everybody clear, after this Sunday, we will purge the prayer sheet. It's been, can you believe it? Half a year is gone. And so we like to do that. So if you want things to stay on there, just there will be a sign-up sheet. Alina says yes. And so you put your request up there, and we certainly enjoy the privilege of being able to take these requests before our Savior, who takes them to his Father. So any additional requests on any of these? So Bob and Kathy, if you're watching, if you could give us an update on Shy. I left her on there. I'm not sure how that is going, and not throwing anybody on the bus, just if we could get an update on that. Pleased to announce a lot of people who had the upper respiratory are getting better. I think Cindy Williams still is not quite where she would like to be. I know Abby Bishop is not where she would like to be. It's kind of lingering on. My mom is really sick. She has the same thing everybody else has here, which doesn't surprise me. She was at Abigail's graduation party, so I'm kind of thinking that's where some of this started. It doesn't matter. So pray for my mom as well. Anybody else have anything? Ben and Michelle are traveling late tonight, 11-hour trip from Missouri. So for just this week, if you could put that on, well, I guess for Sunday too when they go back, I'll be praying for that. Anybody else? All right. So Aaron can be one. Terry and I will be two, so we don't pray for the last ones all the time. Three, four. Okay? One, two, three, four. And so this isn't going to take long. Three, two, three. All right. Thank you for joining us and signing.